Jeremy, being the stand-up guy he is, decided that he would take the day off of filming Supergirl. Told him he couldn't do it because he had to buy his own ticket. He wanted to go to New York to claim his own destiny. Oh. So he is like excited, gung-ho, like ready to roll. Like, oh, I feel so bad for him.
Sounds like a Disney story gone bad.
Yeah, it's literally a Disney story just slowly going bad. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of DeLulu Canoe Podcast. Woo! We are back. We are ready to go. We're going to catch them all. But today, in the back of the canoe, in the back of the canoe with the poke flute, we have Cosmo from the Cosmo Show. Woo! You know what a poke flute is, right?
No, I don't.
it's the flute that they play that helps Snorlax go to sleep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I stopped watching after that first movie with Mew.
I don't blame you. I think a lot of people did at that point. They just kind of like checked out because it was kind of aliens and that was a lot. But I do have a very interesting question for you.
Yes. Da, da, da,
da. Do you ever feel like celebrities have it made and they don't have any struggles and everything just goes perfectly for them?
Yes and no.
Okay. I like that answer. Not really yes, not really no. Well, what if I told you that some of these celebrities that we all know actually had opportunities that were amazing and did great things for their careers, but kind of screwed them?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So today I've compiled a couple of stories of some of our favorite celebrities that had opportunities that turned around and kind of bit them in the butt.
Ouch.
Literally. Damn. I want to start with one that I feel like you will know inside and out because It was a little bit before my generation, but it's the Back to the Future.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So a lot of people know now, because it's like heavily publicized and some of the footage got leaked, that Eric Stoltz was actually the original actor to play Marty McFly. Mm-hmm. The source of this is actually from The Collider, which is like a pretty popular website. So you can fact check this through them. Mm-hmm. This is not from my brain. It is something that they put out. They publicized. But back in the day, when the script of Back to the Future began, it started making its way through Hollywood, and a lot of like really big celebrities wanted the role of Marty McFly. A lot of young actors like John Cryer, Ben Stiller, C. Thomas Howell, they all auditioned and read for this role. But it was ultimately, it was kind of written for Michael J. Fox is the vibe that I kind of got from this website, that they really saw him in, it was an 80s sitcom called Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Yeah.
I used to watch that religiously.
Really?
The sister was hot.
The
older sister.
That's the reason you watched?
Yeah, same with Seven Heaven. I only watched because Jessica Biel.
Hey. You know, there's always that one celebrity that just, it's the reason you watch the show. So yeah. I totally get it.
I think I heard this because it was some kind of shooting schedule conflict.
Yeah.
So they're just like, all right, let's go with the second best.
Yeah. Well, so the director and the producers really wanted Michael J. Fox. But like you said, which is funny that you knew this, it's like word for word, due to scheduling conflicts with that hit series, he couldn't make it work. It was too much. It wasn't going to work out for him. But it was Sid Sheinberg. I don't know how to say his name.
Sheinberg?
I think so. Sheinberg, he was the Universal Pictures executive that ultimately made the decision for it to go to Eric Stoltz.
Wow.
Stoltz, I think that's how you say it.
Stoltz.
Which kind of goes to show that when you audition for something, and if somebody thinks you're really great and they like root for you, sometimes it really does work out.
Sometimes.
Even if it's like not written for you. My favorite example is Barbie, Margot Robbie. Mm-hmm. She was just supposed to be a producer. They really wanted Gal Gadot, but then they just loved Margot.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, when they love you, they love you.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't mean to interrupt you with.
No, go for it.
Marvel is good at that.
Really?
Yeah. Tom Hiddleston. What's his name that plays Loki?
Yeah.
He auditioned for Thor.
Yes, I heard about this.
And then Chris Pratt auditioned for something else. I think it was Ant-Man or something like that. And they're like, no, I think we got something else for you. And they keep him to the side.
Yeah.
Like, great casting agency would be like, I know something that you might be perfect for, but we're going to keep you in the sag, so I don't think you're right for this one. So mm-hmm. that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know Disney is notorious for that, too. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so they got in Eric Stoltz. They were excited to have him. He was, like, the next one in line that they really liked. But on, let me see here. Oh, the performance that he put out that really made them want Eric on the set was in Peter Bogdanovich's mask.
Yeah.
I don't know how to read that last name.
The one was Cher, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he had like this deformed, like elephant man kind of thing. It was based on a true story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the performance that like won everyone over. Mm-hmm. But on January 10th of 1985, Eric Stoltz was fired from Back to the Future after a month of filming.
Damn.
Could you imagine? Like, you've made it. You've already had a successful movie. People know you. They want you on the set. You're in it for a month. Mm-hmm. You're in the film. You're doing the work. You're showing up every day. And then you just get fired.
Yep.
Which I was shocked that this source even used that word. Because, like, I think that's kind of harsh.
Yeah.
But I kept reading because it almost, like, gets worse in this article. Ooh. So, basically, Stoltz has a unique type style of acting, which is called method acting. And I'm going to get into what that actually means. But it was the combination of his method acting and lack of comedic chops that led to the revision between cast and crew that felt like he wasn't bringing the right energy to the role. Mm-hmm. So they let him go. So the main thing that the crew was kind of bothered by is that he made everybody on set call him Marty McFly. So
one of those actors.
Yeah. So method acting is kind of, I don't want to say it's side-eyed in the acting community, because there's some really great performances that come from actors that really study the art of method acting. But it trains actors to use their physical, mental, and emotional self in the creation of a character. And the stress is in a way that a personal experience can fire the actor's imagination. Mm-hmm. So long story long, you put yourself in that same scenario. Mm-hmm. You put yourself, like if you're playing a homeless character, you don't live in your home. You live on the street.
Dustin Hoffman's done that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know Johnny Depp. Yes.
Johnny Depp does that a lot.
I want to say that Brad Pitt in a role, like he's not a smoker, but apparently he took up smoking for the role. I don't remember which one, but the rumor mill is that I think that he did some method acting.
Could have been Seven.
Yeah.
Seven, he smokes a lot.
That would make a lot of sense then. But they eventually got Michael J. Fox in because he was able to make both schedules work. But he was kind of killing himself at the time. He was juggling two different film sets. And I even have it down that he legit would go to Paramount. He would film from like 10 in the morning till 6 p.m. at night. But then he would rush over to Universal's lot to Back to the Future and go from like 6:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m.
Damn!
Yeah.
Wow.
He was busting his butt. And I mean, good for him because he did an amazing job. Mm. But it made me feel really bad for the Stoltz guy. Yeah. I even wrote this down because I thought it was really reflective of the casting director. He came forward, Robert Zemeckis. Zemeckis, thank you.
No worries.
Robert Zemeckis went on record to say that Eric is a brilliant actor. He simply miscast him, and he learned a very serious lesson about casting that day. You have to cast the right movie the right way. Mm-hmm. When he was asked about the experience of letting the actor go while he was on set, because he pulled him aside to the trailer and told him, like, in his trailer, like, hey, this isn't really working out. He further revealed that it was horrible. It was the worst experience of his career, and he never wants to do that again.
Wow.
So.
Damn.
Yeah. Which I kind of wish that this source would have gotten a quote from Eric, mm-hmm. because sure, the director had the difficult job of letting him go, mm-hmm. but what about the actor? Like, that has to be devastating.
It's, you know, I think it would be, I mean, I think if you look at the movie, how it turned out to be, mm-hmm. even though they reshot stuff, I don't think Eric acting chops would mash with Christopher Lloyd.
That's what Christopher Lloyd said.
Yeah. Christopher Lloyd is a different caliber. Like if you put Christopher Lloyd in Adam's Family and you put Oscar Isaac or something like that, which could be a great match for Adam's Family as a great, That's my pick for a Gomez. Oscar Isaac and Sofia Vergara. That's just me.
There you go.
But it just, the dynamics, you know, it just wouldn't work. Christopher Lloyd's a different type of actor.
Yeah, he just is so comically goofy and like, I don't know. I feel like when you put two actors together, you can tell that the vibe just isn't quite there. And especially like the way that the article is written and how there was like a bit, I wish I would have quoted it, where the cast and crew were kind of side-eyeing the fact that this actor wanted to be called the role on and off set is a little, I don't know, I don't want to say it's narcissistic, but it sort of feels that way, where I kind of get why the crew would be like, yeah, no, like this isn't really the vibe. He's not really showing the comedic chops. And then you put him next to somebody who's really funny.
Yeah. If they would have got another Doc Brown, that would have been one movie. It would have been a different tone. It would have been like a real science fiction, serious Back to the Future, and probably would never have done sequels.
Yeah. I feel like it would have been very flat.
Yeah.
But, you know, it turned out in the end for Michael J. Fox. So, yeah. But man, Eric... Dude, I feel bad for you.
Well, you know, they fired... I don't know if you remember this movie, Island of Dr. Monroe. It's Marlon Brando, one of his last flicks, and Val Kilmer. They had three different directors while shooting that. I think one quit, and then one got fired, and then another one came on. It was just during that whole movie process of filming it. So
yeah.
It can happen to actors. It can happen to directors. So.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Good point. It's not always the director, too. They get cut as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen the show The Office?
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you know the character Pam?
Yes, I've seen it once. I'm not a big fan of it.
Oh, really? Like, I hated it.
I like the English version, right? The British version. I love that humor, because the American version of English, of Office, reminds me of people I work with, a bunch of idiots. Sorry if you're watching, but this is past, you know, you don't know who you are, but it's mostly all the corporate jobs that I work with.
Yeah.
Mostly all the corporate jobs I've worked at. There are people like Dwight. There's people like Michael. There's people like Pam. And it's just like, why would I don't find it appealing for myself. So this is my...
I couldn't get past the first two episodes. I really had to force myself because it was such a culturally loved, I think is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it. Like the planking episode, people were talking about it, joking about it forever. And everybody loves Steve Carell. So I get it. And I eventually watched through almost the entire thing. But this actress, her name is Jenna Fischer. The role of Pam actually kind of bit her in the butt later on when she continued her acting career. So she's very successful. Obviously, Jenna Fischer, people now know who she is basically from The Office. And I think she did some acting beforehand. But she has a podcast, coincidentally enough, where that is actually the source for this information that I have about an audition she had. So she has a podcast called Office Ladies, and she revealed that she got cast on the TV show called Man with a Plan. Does that sound familiar to you?
No.
Great, because it wasn't very popular. It was terribly bland, but it was headlined by the Friends star, Matt LeBlanc.
Oh.
So Joey Tribbiani.
Joey.
Yes.
My second favorite character.
He's hilarious, but might have been miscast in this. So it wasn't slated anywhere that this show was like written for him, for Joey or Matt LeBlanc, but it did say that he has an executive producer credit. So I imagine that his role on camera was solidified, but basically Jenna lost the role of LeBlanc's wife when test audiences couldn't get past the fact that they were watching Pam and Joey. When actors are actors and not the roles that they play on other shows.
I know, but when you stay on something for that long, you get kind of, you get lost if you see somebody else.
Yeah.
Like if you, like the guy from Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
watch the guy that played Walter, Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
If I watch him in anything else, all I see is Breaking Bad.
Really?
Before Malcolm in the Middle,
because
it's the way he took Malcolm in the Middle, he was comedic. He's like the live action Homer Simpson. But Breaking Bad, it was just his acting chops was so amazing that when he gets serious in a role, that's all I see is that guy, Walter White,
I think his name.
Yeah.
See, I thought the same way about Daniel Radcliffe, but he went on to do so many other things after Harry Potter.
He broke out of that.
And I feel like...
Same with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about certain actors, but once you see them in something, it's almost like they have to dye their hair or they have to like cut their hair or do something to really like shake up their look in order to show that they can do more. But the test audiences basically said that they just couldn't believe that Pam would marry Joey because the roles that they were playing is that it's like a stay-at-home dad with his wife who like has a job and they have two kids, and it's the struggle of the general American man being a stay-at-home dad and his struggles with that, which I don't know why the audience didn't think that Joey wouldn't be a stay-at-home dad and why they tacked all this like these two characters wouldn't get married on her instead of him, but I digress. The network executives actually asked for more scenes with Jenna because they liked her. They had no issues with her, but the pilot and the focus group's reaction to her filming more stuff basically sunk that opportunity. And they basically just couldn't get over the Pam and Joey thing. The chemistry, people say, like, didn't work between the two, which I think is, like, a better reasoning than just, like, we can't see these two characters getting married. It, to me, it's more about the chemistry. And she was on her way, headed to New York to do what they have is called the upfronts. And the first thing, when she landed in New York, her agent, like, called her. And she was nervous about it, so she picks up and she's like, oh, is Man with a Plan canceled? Like, why are you calling? And like, what's going on? And her agent was like, it's worse than that. And she goes, what do you mean? What could be worse than like the show getting canceled? And her agent said, it's getting picked up, but without you. And her response to it was, I guess I'll unpack my suitcase.
Damn.
Yeah. But Man with a Plan ran for 4 seasons from 2016 to 2020 on CBS. So it did have a pretty solid run. And Liza Snyder got the role eventually. I don't know anything about Liza, so I guess it kind of like worked out for somebody else. But out of curiosity, because I'm kind of petty, I went and I looked for some of the reviews of the show because I've never heard of it. I had no idea Matthew LeBlanc was cast in something else. And all the reviews said it was like so boring and that Matthew LeBlanc was just dry and unbelievable. And this story stood out to me because there's, if you Google like celebrities that got recast, there's hundreds of thousands of times where this has happened. But it's interesting to me that like he was an executive producer, which is important, but it's not like the role was written for him.
Right.
So why did they get rid of her? And it obviously doesn't say because she is the source, so she doesn't know 100% why it was her and not him that got, you know, recast it.
He's Matt LeBron. He's the friends. He can bring over those audience.
You think so? You think that's why?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's a pretty good guess.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would believe that over a lot of things, I guess. But I would have done a rewrite.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're going to say Joey and Pam would never get married, Joey would never be a stay-at-home dad. Yep. You know what I mean? So it's like, if we're going to blame what the audience said on it, do a whole new rewrite.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I obviously don't know all the behind the scenes on it, but I appreciate Jenna Fischer coming forward on her podcast and talking about it. Because I think it's important, like when I asked you from the beginning, callback moment, that, you know, celebrities have things happen to them too. It's not usually publicized. I feel like we're more interested in like the drama or the negativity about them, when these stories baffled me that like I've had times where I've put in a lot of work and dedication into something and money sometimes. And then to watch something like fail, I sit there sometimes, I'm like, man, like I can't imagine like if I was a bigger celebrity, maybe this would go over better. But this kind of proves that even the top of the top have situations where bites them in the butt. There's nothing you can do about it, you know?
Yep.
So the next one that I'm like hyper fixated on, and I have a little bit of a bias in this story as well. It's the story of the one man show called The Greatest Showman. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
What'd you think of it? Did you like it?
I like Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
I see some of his Broadway stuff on YouTube. And Zac Efron, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. It's about the Barnum, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, he was horrible with the animals and stuff like that. But
yeah, a lot of things were missing in that story. Yeah. But
other than that, great movie. I think the music was great and the acting was cool. So
yeah, I thought it was an okay movie. I didn't watch it all the way through. I got bored, to be honest. But that's nothing. You know, that's just a personal thing. But this is actually sourced by Screen Rant, which is pretty like believable, I'd say. I looked up a couple things on there and it seemed legit. Mm-hmm. But it also comes from Jeremy Jordan's one-man show, because he does it's almost like a stand-up comedy, but mm-hmm. instead of like telling jokes, he told the story of The Greatest Showman in the one-man show format. And nice. He sings the songs and like kind of tells you how he wound up knowing all the songs before anybody else.
Nice.
So, and this is actually the inspiration for this whole podcast episode. So obviously this one hit me in like the feels. back in 2015, Jeremy Jordan, he lives in LA at this point. He was asked to record some of the demos for a movie musical. But he was aware that Hugh Jackman would be playing the role of P.T. Barnum, which is like the leading male in it. And they asked him to do the demos for Hugh Jackman because he was a pretty similar vocal fit. Like if you listen to Jeremy Jordan, if you don't know who he is, he's Lucifer in Hazmat Hotel. He's mm-hmm. the voice of Lucifer. He also did a role in the Tangled animated series. Mm-hmm. And he's done a bunch of things. He's been like on Broadway many and multiple times. Very famous for his voice because he sings incredibly well.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Supergirl.
Yep, yes, yeah, yes. He's in Supergirl, too.
Supergirl. He's Kara Denver's best friend.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, just very talented. Like, such a great, great talent.
Did I say Kara Denver's?
I don't.
I did say Kara. Kara Jor-El. I don't know. I can't remember Supergirl's name. Kara Denver's is Marvel.
Oh, oops.
That's too many. So many.
This is why we got source material today, because it's all these names.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But it's important. It's important to give the credit where it's due. So, yeah. Good catch. Good catch. So he was an ideal vocal demo person for Hugh Jackman, like a good person to throw down the vocals for him, because he'd starred in several musicals, including Newsies, Bonnie and Clyde, The Last 5 Years.
Nice.
And if you listen to both of their voices, they have a lot of similarities. So for Hugh Jackman to then later on go and record the actual tracks, like the vocals for it, wouldn't be too difficult. Mm. They needed someone to do it for Hugh Jackman, so Jeremy Jordan was selected. He went in, did the thing, moved on, learned all the music. Great. He was like, cool. I know I'm not getting this part. It's not for me, but I will help out with it. But while he was recording the demos, he was made aware by other people that were involved in it. So like the producers and like, you know, the audio engineers and like probably the person who like helped Hugh Jackman like put this all together. They had mentioned to him that there was another leading male role that Jeremy could be a good fit for. They didn't promise anything, but they definitely were like, hey, there's another guy role you'd be a great fit for. And he was like, okay, glad I did all that work. You guys now know what my voice sounds like. Awesome. So now a year later, 2016, he received a call from the producers that they were doing a big presentation of The Greatest Showman. And he was asked to read for the part of Philip, which is the leading male, or the other leading male.
The other one, yeah.
Yeah. That's the part they said he would be a good fit for. So of course he was like, I would love to help be a part of us getting funding for the film. So basically what they do when a movie needs like funding behind it is they'll put on kind of like a mini play of it. They'll like get all the producers together, get all the actors together. No one's hard cast at that point, but a lot of times they'll go with the people that are there because they're really good in the end production. But they do basically the whole show, the whole movie, the whole songs, whatever they got. And then people that are watching will decide if they want to green light the show, movie, etc. But the biggest thing is that it was going to be in New York, not in LA.
Okay.
And they didn't have the money to fly him there. So Jeremy, being the stand-up guy he is, decided that he would take the day off of filming Supergirl.
Wow.
Which he was on set for like a lot of time. Told him he couldn't do it because he had to buy his own ticket to go to New York. And to quote him, he says to go, where is it? He wanted to go to New York to claim his own destiny. So he is like excited, gung-ho, like ready to roll. Like, oh, I feel so bad for him.
Sounds like a Disney story gone bad.
Yeah, it's literally a Disney story just slowly going bad.
Oh, man.
And on the way there, he's noticing he's having a little bit of vocal trouble, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to drink a lot of tea when I land. I'm going to sleep. Like, everything's going to be great. Gets his butt on the plane, has got a scarf on trying to protect his voice, and he gets a call from the producers that Hugh Jackman will not be able to sing at this presentation because he has to have emergency nose surgery to remove a tumor from his nose. So the producers decided that not only is Jeremy Jordan going to be singing as Philip, he's also going to sing Hugh Jackman's part because he'll have stitches and can't sing for this big thing. Damn. And even the pianist that helped put all the music together, because the pianist knows the songs, can sing it decently well, well enough to like fake it to these other people. They know it's not going to go, it's not going to get cast in it. But even that guy was having vocal trouble. So literally the two leading male roles in this movie all depended on Jeremy Jordan.
Wow.
They were like, please help us get this show greenlit. Jeez. And he was having vocal trouble too, but being a professional, he took care of his voice, did whatever he had to do to get himself there. So he got to the presentation, did everything he needed to do. He was making his way through it, doing a great job. And he would stand off to the side, sing the songs while Hugh Jackman would stand in the middle of the room and then do all like the acting it out, pretending he was singing. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows The Greatest Showman has this big iconic number where it's called From Now On. Mm-hmm. And it's like very iconically Hugh Jackman. Like, you can't sing that song without like envisioning him and just like really killing it. And there was even a viral video of him from this moment, like just singing it and just like living in his truth and just having a good old time.
Nice.
When the reality of it is that Jeremy Jordan was really excited to like nail this song because he had made it all the way through the whole presentation. It was going really great. He was saving his voice for this last thing to really like get it greenlit. And Hugh Jackman, as I said, decided that during the From Now On to just step up and say, fuck my stitches. I'm going to sing it and belt it. And Jeremy, of course, in that moment just felt crushed because he was like, I did all this, you know, I put in all this effort, put in all this work, and I was really excited to really like, you know, have that moment too. And he later on says that like he recognizes that that was Hugh Jackman's moment. Mm-hmm. That like, you know what, that was his moment, not a big deal, but in the moment kind of hurt him a little bit. And I totally get it. Basically standing ovation, clapping, cheering, the project's getting greenlit. And Jeremy is not technically cast in it. So it's like, he kind of just like grabs his papers and is like, you know what, I'm going to head out. And on the way out, he overhears producers that were standing, clapping, cheering. He overhears them talking to each other. And basically what he heard was that somebody whispered that Hugh Jackman had met with Zac Efron that same morning and had offered him the part of Philip.
Damn.
Could you imagine? Like,
that's horrible.
And I tried to set my biases aside because I obviously like love this man because he's vocally incredible. I tried to be like, you know what? Maybe they needed a celebrity, you know? But Hugh Jackman's already in it, and then Zendaya is the leading female.
I
will never when I heard this story, I heard it on TikTok at first, and I watched the one-man show because I was obsessed with this. I couldn't believe it. There's been so many moments where I have felt personally like, man, shit really hits the fan a lot for me. I don't know why. It's like, I feel like I get the award for most person who's been screwed over by things, you know, like we all have those moments. Right.
Yeah.
But I think this guy deserves like the biggest plaque trophy of like, you win. Cause wow.
You got screwed. Goodbye.
Like, yeah.
Damn, that's fucked up.
I just got to know, did they pay for his flight eventually when the movie made money?
Right.
Did they reimburse him for anything? I even tried to look for the credits, if he got anything in the credits, and I couldn't find his name.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, Jeremy Jordan, thank you so much for making your one-man show, because
damn,
what a story. Like, my heart hurts for that story. Ugh. Like, have you ever put in, like, so much effort into something, and then someone else is just like, yoink, rug ripped out?
Yeah, some places I worked at before in the past.
Oh, no.
Did all the setup, all the work, and then they got the credit. But it's all good. Yeah, when they were asked to do that same job that I did, they just failed at it. So I was like, all right, cool.
You're like, yeah, karma.
Yeah, karma works in my favor sometimes, quicker than usual.
Yeah. I feel like karma, it's not our place to instill, like, people getting what they deserve. Mm-hmm. The universe just does it naturally, exactly. Whether we recognize it or not in the moment, but it usually does. Cool. So I have one more story.
Okay.
And I actually don't want to say who the actor is, because I feel like it could make this, like, very interesting. Ooh. So, okay. The source is actually the actor talked about it, so online. So this is from their mouth, not mine.
Okay.
So I went in to read for a role on a new pilot. The show centered around a doctor and his daughter, the daughter's boyfriend and their child. So it's like doctor, his daughter, daughter has a boyfriend, and then their child. I was up for the boyfriend. Luke Perry was up for the father. So the cast was set and all the backups were on hold, which means like literally everything was ready to go. And this actor had like booked the part. They were like, you got the part. You're going to be the daughter's boyfriend. Cool. Everything's great. At the last second, the child actor that was supposed to be that actor's child pulled out because the mom was like, I don't want my son in this show anymore. Like, I'm backing out, can't do it. And when it comes to like TV shows, pilots, any media, when you cast a family, they have to look alike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be passable, unless obviously like adopted or something else is going on. But in this story, there was not. So child backs out. So the child was recast with the alternate, which is like the person who they had in like second place for the role. But the new child actor didn't look like the actor. So the actor lost the part. And then also Luke Perry lost the part because Luke Perry didn't look like the new child.
Oh my God.
So their whole casting system, I like to call it the domino effect. Everything fell apart. All because this mom didn't want her son in the project. So the show never made it past the pilot with the new actors, which like kind of checks out.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Perry is actually the source for this story. And the actor who was telling this story. So like Luke was supposed to be the dad.
The dad, yeah.
And so the name of the actor that we got this story from is Adam Williams Astro.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And Luke Perry went on to do Riverdale, and Adam Williams Astro would like us to say rest in peace for Luke Perry, because he had a good friendship with him.
Aww.
And yeah, so that was a very interesting tale.
Yeah, I loved Riverdale just for Luke Perry.
Yeah.
And Veronica.
There's always a girl in there that you're like, and that girl.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for Latinas.
I love that. But yeah, if you guys don't know, Adam Williams Astro is a good personal friend of both of ours. He's an actor in a lot of mainstream shows.
Mm-hmm.
So when I told him we were going to be doing this episode, I was like, I don't know. Do you know any actors that have really been kind of like screwed over by something that like you couldn't really help? And he was like, I had a kid that backed out that not only lost me the role as a non-celebrity at the time, but it lost the celebrity in the show the role.
Damn.
So I thought that was really fascinating and kind of cool to see. Well, not cool, but just interesting to see that even the celebrity in that story was affected by the recast. So maybe don't audition for something if you like don't want it. Just putting that out there. Or if you don't think your kid should be involved, maybe like don't do it. So those are all of the four celebrities that I had. Very interesting stories about how they were bit in the butt or screwed over by other circumstances. Mm-hmm. And you prepped a list too.
I did. I prepped a list on actors that passed up on roles that are like huge.
Oh.
And my source is from Watch Culture on YouTube. Also Watch Mojo. Those like two of the things I like to watch on YouTube that just I get some of my information from, and you know, some interesting facts they have. They have a lot of different types of categories, but
yeah, Watch Mojo is great.
Watch Mojo is really great. So this is fun. This is the first one that stand out to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sean Connery.
Okay.
Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Passed up the role Gandalf. Lord of the Rings. He said no.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, don't know that I could see him as Gandalf. Could you?
Gandalf? No. I couldn't even see him still acting. I didn't even know he was still alive at that point. I'm like, because like, he, well, seriously, he's like disappeared.
Hot you takes know. From Cosmo, everybody.
I'm like, okay, you did Indiana Jones, The yeah. Last Crusade, and then I don't, and then okay, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, which is yeah, yeah.
Great movie. But Gandalf. But that's it. And then like, if he would have came back for Gandalf, I don't know. I just couldn't see it.
Yeah, they would have to do some major wigging on him and major yeah. bearding. And then maybe I'd buy it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Molly Ringwald, mm-hmm. remember her from Pretty in Pink. And she's mm-hmm. also in Riverdale playing the mom, Archie's yeah. mom. She passed up Julia Roberts' role from Pretty Woman.
For Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman, yeah.
Whoa, that yeah. would have been a different movie,
they
though.
They offered her that first, and then Julia Roberts came in and got it.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm like, Molly Ringwald, she was like the heartthrob of the 80s and early 90s. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I think it would have been a different movie, but still a classic in a way.
Yeah. Huh. Will Smith.
Okay. Controversial.
Controversial.
Keep my wife's. I'm sorry.
Keep my rules. What? No way. Passed up Neo for The Matrix, which I'm glad he did, because that just would have been weird.
But Will Smith plays Will Smith in everything.
Right?
Hot take. Ugh.
He'd be like, nah, you want me to take the blue pill? Nah.
He's like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Right?
Nah.
And you'll have to get, like, what's the name? Jazzy Jeff on it, too. Just be part of
it. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that I would have. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have liked it then.
So here's another interesting one too. This involves two actors from one series. Okay.
Okay.
Silence of the Lamb.
Oh yes.
Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
For Clarice, Michelle Pfeiffer pass. Clarice. Jodie Foster's character.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Irons mm-hmm. passed on Hannibal.
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, you know him. Scar's voice.
Interesting. Yeah. That would have been, huh?
That would have been.
I think it could have been interesting.
I think Jeremy Irons would have just rocked it.
Yeah. I wonder why they passed.
I don't know.
Did they say?
That's saying.
Interesting.
The Sean Connery one, he said he just doesn't understand the whole universe and the stuff like that. So I was like,
okay,
didn't understand.
I think it's good to pass on things that don't vibe with you.
Yeah.
So.
One I do know for the reason is DuGray Scott. Mm-hmm. You might know him for Mission Impossible 2. He's mm-hmm. a bad guy. He was offered the role of Wolverine before Hugh Jackman. But because of the shooting situation for Mission Impossible 2, he passed and went for Mission Impossible 2 instead. And Tom Cruise, I think, that's what they said on Watch Culture, that he said this is a better opportunity, it's action, blah, 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 this, that. Tom Cruise has a way of talking people into things.
Yeah.
He's
a phenomenal actor.
He's a phenomenal actor, but he's talked people out of things and talked people into roles.
Really?
Yeah, especially for that last one, The Mummy, the Universal City Monsters, whatever, The Mummy. The guy, I can't remember his damn name, but he's from New Girl, and he was in... New Girl? Yeah, New Girl, and I can't remember what other movie's
with
in.
With Zooey Deschanel, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
Talked him into it. He's like, trust me, the stunts. Because the guy didn't want to do the stunts. He's like, trust me, I got great stunt workers. We're gonna do this. You're gonna love it.
Wow.
This is gonna be a great opportunity for you to branch out to something else. Talked him into it, like a year and some odd, finally.
Wow.
Shot it. The movie was a flop, but
well,
I thought it was good.
Can't win them all.
You can't win them all. But yeah, Tom Cruise is a good salesman.
Hmm.
John Travolta, Forrest Gump. He passed on that.
So weird.
That would have been a different movie.
So weird. Yep. I don't, what? Like, why did they even offer it to John Travolta?
I don't know. I don't know. But if you watch Michael and...
I don't like it.
This is other movie he did, too. Where it's kind of like a Forrest Gump kind of role. Serious.
Okay.
Heartfelt.
Yeah, that one would have been such a different movie.
Yeah. And Bette Midler.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bette Midler, because this is why she denied it, is because she thought that her fans didn't want to see her playing a nun with the role in Sister Act.
She thought her fans wouldn't want to see her playing a nun.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was offered to Whoopi Goldberg instead and just became a huge success.
See, not that I'm on any caliber as Bette Midler at all, mm-hmm. but like, I don't think of my fans when it comes to taking roles mm-hmm. at all. I think about what vibes with me. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that she felt that her fans wouldn't want to see her in that, when it's like, well, do you do anything for your fans really? Or do you do it because you love it?
Right.
I don't know.
The last three, mm-hmm. Reese Witherspoon mm-hmm. passed on Sydney Prescott from Scream. It was given to, what's her name? Nave Campbell?
Oh, yeah. Naomi?
Naomi Campbell, yeah. What's her name? Yeah.
I knew who you meant.
Yeah.
Alas, Dare did not know who Cosmo meant, and Cosmo was right the first time that it is Neve Campbell in Scream, and Chompy is screaming right now. We now return you to your scheduled programming.
Oh, Scream.
We got there.
Yeah.
Hmm. That could have worked. I think that one...
It could have worked.
Would have been good.
I can see her playing Rose McGowan's character in the first one, or Drew Barrymore's.
Yeah.
Like, quick and simple, but quick and to the point and then
in
dead.
Dead out. Yeah.
Spoilers if you ever watched Scream 1.
If you haven't spoiler watched alert. One. Yeah.
Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. He passed on working with his wife on Ghost.
Why did he...
What? He just thought he would be... I think what Watch Culture said, or Watch Mojo said, he's like, from Bruce Willis said, that it might be too awkward and like, to work on set with each other. Because he hasn't worked with anybody besides his daughters.
Okay.
From the family in movies. But yeah.
Okay. I get it though. Because like, you don't want to take your family drama to set.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There are people that choose to not date where they work.
Yeah, there's people that hook up because of the movie. But
yeah. That's a different.
That's a different
topic for a different DeLulu.
I think Angelina and Brad Pitt would be all over that.
Oh my gosh.
And the last one, which is funny, and Matt Damon have said this on a couple of talk shows and like interviews, that he passed up James Cameron's Avatar to play Jake Sullivan, the guy in the wheelchair, ends up being the blue alien creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed up that too. It's like, it's really interesting to know who passed on what, who could have been what.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Batman was another thing that I started too.
Yeah.
There was so many different, like Tim Burton wanted Bill Murray, but Bill Murray said no. And then the casting team were looking at other people like, what about Kurt Russell? What about Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
And they went with Michael Keaton instead. And they're just like, wow, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work. And it worked. So many people were like, okay, so many fans. Mm-hmm. And they just did not understand why you cast Michael Keaton as Batman. And it actually worked. And it kicked ass.
Yeah. I think it's so cool to see like all the actors that do audition for roles. Mm-hmm. Because like, I know The Office is one of them that I've watched a couple of times, like seeing some other like really big actors put their name in the ring for these like iconic characters. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating though when they don't even try. Like when they're offered a role, like the list you literally just rattled off, that they're just like, no, I'm gonna pass, when it's like, well, did you like try? Or, like it's fascinating to hear why, for some of them that gave reasonings, like why they didn't jump on board with it. Mm-hmm. Cause like I've passed on like a couple of things in my career, and I'm sure you've gotten a couple auditions and opportunities and you're like, I'd rather not.
No, I took them all.
Took them all? Okay, well.
I took them all. I'm like, what is it? Cool, opportunity, let's do it. Like, so that's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has different ways on things that they do, what they do, why they do.
The one kind of role that I never haven't got is trying to be, like, to be the leading man or being a serious. I've done a bunch of sketch comedies and stuff like that on stuff and, like, just comedic crap, which is my wheelhouse. Spontaneous and all that stuff like that, but I think I would be too scared to do the serious, normal, you know, the Matt LeBron kind of role, the stay at home dad, you know,
the stay at home dad with Matthew LeBron.
I'd be nervous, but I think I'd try it anyways. I just have to get over that.
I feel like there's a lot of fear around like leading, like being the lead in a movie or a sitcom or in anything, because it's. The show's not riding on your back, but like it kind of feels that way. But I mean, my experience with Girls on Film, it wasn't I didn't feel the pressure as much. Like once we got going, because it was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you sink into that spot of like, everybody just wants to succeed and everybody wants it to do well. So you just kind of, I don't know, you start to enjoy it and have a good time. Maybe you should start writing some stuff for yourself.
I thought about that.
Like try out some different things and write and see like, where could you write something where you'd be a leading man? Because sure, I don't see you as like a stay-at-home dad, but I could see you like driving some like cyberpunk ship. Or maybe you're like a pirate and you're like the, you know, the pirate captain.
Pirate, assassin.
Yeah, assassin would be so cool for you.
But I like the bad guy. Yeah. Either like the main boss bad guy that has all the great quirky lines that just... Mm-hmm. out of control, or the second in command that's like, oh, my boss is crazy, but I'm the tough guy. I like those roles.
Yeah.
They're a little weird, but yeah.
I like being the silly side character too. I relate, but I never get cast as that, so that's why I am on this podcast. Well, I mean, that's all I got, unless we got any other fun facts on celebrities that I didn't write down.
That's it.
That's all we got, fam. That's all we got, yeah. Let us know in the comments below if there's any celebrities of that either turned down roles or got it, you know, got screwed over. Let us know in the comments below. I love chatting with you all in the comments when I get to it. But it's fun to see what you guys like and dislike and certain topics that you guys want us to talk about. Let us know. Be sure to listen on Spotify, Apple, all of the places that you listen to podcasts. Leave us some good ratings because I feel like we did a pretty good job today. Mm-hmm. Also correct us if we got anything wrong. Yes. Because we get things wrong.
Yeah.
We're people. We do that.
We're only human.
Ooh, we make mistakes. On that note, thank you all so much for listening to Delulu Canoe. Thank you, Cosmo, for being here again. I don't know why I thank you every episode, but I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you.
This is the studio
too.
Audience clapping.
Delulu Canoe was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. And be sure to stay Delulu so that all your dreams can come true, Lulu.
Yay.
Yeah.